When I was putting this sermon together, I usually go through to kind of see how long it is. And when I finished, I said, no, not quite long enough. So I did a little more work on it, and it still didn't come out like I thought. But I remember when I was at Hermanville, there was a man in our church that after church, people would be going out, and I would be saying goodbye to him, and he would always walk by, and he said, all right, see you next week, preacher. He never said anything else more than that. Some people would come by and say, well, you could do a little bit better on your sermon. Others would say, it's a great sermon. But he would always say, see you later, preacher, next week. Well, about 7 weeks later, I finished up my sermon, and I was up in front of the pulpit there trying to get my stuff together, and he was back in the narthex, and he was doing this. He was on a walker, and I walked back there, and I said, can I help? What's up? He said, I just wanted to tell you that was a fine sermon. And it shocked me. And I said, really? I said, really? What did you like about it? He said, it was very short. So I learned my lesson. Tommy, thank you for reading this morning. He read you a parable that most of you are probably very familiar with, aren't you? Those of you that have been in church all your life, you probably heard this parable when you were in Sunday school class. And it's been the subject of a lot of sermons, too. It's one of those kind of parables that you can come at from different directions, really. This parable is sometimes called the parable of the sower. And you'll hear it sometimes referred to as the parable of the soils. Again, it just determines which way you're coming from. The word parable itself comes from a Greek word. I think it's paraboli. Is that right, Gary? Am I close to that? Paraboli? Good. Thank you. Heavy stomach. And that really means like a placing beside, if you will, or a comparison or an illustration. It helps kind of clarify or give support to a thought or an idea that someone might have. And Jesus was a master at that. And most of his parables always came from something in nature or from human life. His parables were always dealing with things that you could at least understand what he was working with. Sometimes you might not understand the parable itself, but you knew the content. You knew what was in it for the most part. This parable is an easy one to remember, isn't it? If I were to ask you, what is this parable about? Well, you would know because Jesus tells us right in the start of it, doesn't he? He says a farmer went out to sow. So we know it's about a farming parable, dealing with growing plants and so forth. But if you were listening carefully, and I know you heard this, that he threw the seed everywhere. In seemingly what we might call unproductive places, and well-worn paths where the birds would eat it up, or in rocky ground where the soil was not very deep, and eventually they would burn up, not enough for the roots to grab hold of, or among thick thorns where the seed would eventually just choke out and die. That really does, to me, sound like a foolish waste of seed, doesn't it? Just to throw it out like that. I mean, the logical place to throw seed if you want something to grow is where? In good soil. You'll have more success if it's in good soil. I mean, I'm a city boy. I was born and raised in the city, thank you. I can't grow anything. Well, I can grow old, and I'm doing a pretty good job of that, so. But even I know that if you want something to grow, you need to plant it in good, rich soil. And two, if you want, it's the same in a business also. Not necessarily a foreign concept. If you want to grow a business, if you want a business, start a business, you want to put it someplace where people will come. I mean, you build a business in a good location, around people, easy access to. I mean, a realtor will tell you, location, location, location. So that's what you would do. You don't build a business in an unpopular area or a place that's hard to get to. But my goodness. This sower in this particular parable is anything but a good farmer or businessman, isn't it? He flings seed everywhere. And some seed does fall on good soil. But not much. If you listen to the parable, not much. Why does he do this? Why does he throw it everywhere like this? Well, let's remember something. This is a parable. And I think Jesus is trying to teach us something here. There's a lot you can get out of this, but here's what I want us to look at today. Maybe Jesus is telling us that the gospel, the good news, that's the seed, is bigger than good farming or business principles. Maybe Jesus is telling us that the gospel is bigger than just good soil. Maybe the sower, the farmer, throws seed anywhere because anywhere just happens to be the domain of God's care. And that domain is everywhere. Everywhere. The seed is thrown anywhere because God is everywhere. And that seed that is carelessly thrown is the Word of God. It's the gospel, the good news. And the Word of God is the good news of love. God's love, his mercy, his compassion. And that good news needs to be spread like seed. Like in this particular parable, to all people, no matter what condition the soil. There's a story I came up on, an illustration here that I'd like to share with you. I use a book, or several books, as a set of books, really, that's called Feasting on the Word. And every once in a while, I'll go in and read something in there that will help me out in a sermon. And this, I think, will help out. It tells the story of a Reverend Theodore Wardlaw. And he tells this particular story. He was talking about, he was touring a juvenile detention center along with some other people in a large city. And he starts off by saying the center was really depressing. It was wire mesh gates everywhere. You walk through one door and a door would slam behind you. You walk through another door would slam behind you. He said it was eerie. It was really eerie. He, along with these other people, were led floor by floor through this facility by a guide. He was explaining things to them. They showed them the holding cells where the new inmates would be processed. They went and looked at the dining area, the rec area, and so forth. But near the end of this particular tour, the guide took him up to an area, and he told him, he said, we're going in to where the inmates live. We ask you to do one thing for us. Stay in the center of the aisle as we walk down. So they opened up the doors and they walked in. And as they walked down the hall, they could see various pairs of eyes peering out of these slits in the metal doors. All you could see were the eyes, nothing else. And you could see these eyes peering at them as they walked down through the aisle down through this particular row of jail cells. What was interesting, though, was that they was explained to them as they were walking along that some of these children were accused of really very serious and major crimes. Some of them that were locked up and incarcerated there were repeat offenders. And he said quite honestly, the guy did, that a lot of these are going to wind up in the state penitentiary before it's over. Somebody in the crowd asked, well, how in the world did these children get into something like this? And the tour guide told him, he said, well, it was told that most of these children had really had little nurture in their short lives. No parents, or parents that didn't care, or maybe parents themselves that were incarcerated. No family member wanted them. Too much trouble. And the neighbors in the neighborhood and so forth, they didn't want them. In fact, many of them were just glad they were gone. There they were. No parents, no family, no neighbor, no church, nobody in their lives. But as Wardlaw was walking along, he noticed that a pair of eyes was fixed on him. And as he walked down, those eyes followed him. So he let the crowd get a little bit further down the way, and he broke the rules. He walked over to one of the doors, and he leaned up to those pair of eyes, and he whispered, "God loves you." No response. The eyes just stared at him. So he took another step or two closer to the door, placed his hands up on the door, and leaned in further and said, "I just want you to know that God truly loves you." No response. None. So he went on down the corner with everybody, down the corridor with everyone else. But he says that sometimes to this day he wonders what happened to those pair of eyes. What happened to the words that he gave to them? Did they fall on rocky ground? Did they get trapped in the shrubs? The sad thing is he'll never know. But one thing he did, he spread the seed. He spread the seed, the good news. So maybe this parable is not really just about a good soil, and it can be. Like I say, it depends on which way you come at it. But maybe today it's about being good sowers. You and me. You see, the sower not only throws seed in the places where it will grow, and we should, but this sower throws seed in all soil. He throws seed as though it were all good soil. Throws it on the rocks, amid the thorns, in the well-worn paths, and yes, maybe even in a jail cell. In this parable, I believe Christ has set the example for us as good sowers. We're not select sowers. We preach the Word of God. We are to throw the seed, the Word of God, everywhere, even in the worst places, even on the worn paths where those who hear it don't understand it, and quite honestly, there's a lot that don't want to understand it. We are to throw the seed even on the rocks where those who hear the Word rejoice, but only for a little while. When troubles come their way, it's back to business as usual. We're to throw the seed even between the thorn bushes, where those who hear the Word are more concerned about their worldly possessions and getting ahead in life than hearing the Word. And yes, by all means, we are to throw the seed on the good soil, where those who hear the Word and understand it will, by the grace of God, bear fruit. Jesus tells us that in this parable. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the Word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. The question still arises, does what about those people that soil, if you will, that doesn't bear fruit? What about them? That's not our concern. You see, that soil is extremely precious to God. It's precious to Him. And our Heavenly Father, God, will attend the harvest. You just throw the seed. Seed of the good news. You throw the seed everywhere. Everywhere. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to be sowers of your awesome word. May we, as Christ's disciples, faithfully and continuously spread the seed of your love, forgiveness, and unlimited grace to all your creation and in all places. This we pray in the name of the good sower, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you for allowing me time today to share worship with you today. It means a lot to me. I love you. You're very important to me, and I thank you for the privilege and the honor and the blessing of being with you this day. And I invite you now to receive the benediction. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit bless, preserve, and keep you. Go in peace, and the God of peace goes with you.